I'm going to make this quick and short because my neighbour has got his blower out. It's a crazy little thing called Love Dev. Today's episode is 110, Vanishing Paths. Happy New Year, everybody! This is not a New Year resolution. This is do something. Get a podcast out there. Even though you've got a handful of listeners. Who cares? I don't know, man. I'm doing this for you lot. Hope you all had a lovely Christmas. Seems like it was ages ago now. It was last year, wasn't it? Yeah, it's New Year. Has anyone got a New Year resolution? I don't have one. Not this year. I haven't thought of having one. My only goal is I want to do a tour. That's what I want to do. So, yeah, I suppose that's a resolution, isn't it? I mean, I'm more or less doing everything else. I'm 24 months sober. Yep. I haven't had a drink for 24 months, and I don't even think about it. Like I mentioned earlier, all I miss is my rum. That's it. I think I miss the taste of it. So, yeah, hope everyone is well. I have a show coming up very soon at the Leicester Comedy Festival, which is on Sunday, the 18th of February, at the King Richard III pub, which I believe is on Holly Street. I might have got that wrong. But if you go on the Leicester Comedy Festival, you can catch my show. There's other shows on as well. Mine's £5 a ticket. If you can get down, it is a Sunday. Starts early, so I hope I get a nice full room. Because, like I said, I want to do a tour. That's my goal. And if this show goes well, fingers crossed, touch wood, wink, wink. I don't know what else you do. Yeah, I'm hoping that it does fill up. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, that would be nice. Other than that, I've been all right, you know. I've been all right. I've had a nice Christmas. I did work during Christmas. So I was at the hospital. And it was all right. It was an easy day. Most of the patients went home to visit their family, you know. So it was a nice quiet one at work. And the best thing about Christmas is the roads are empty. And it's amazing. I love it. I love driving during Christmas. There's no one about. You feel like you're king of the road. I did feel like I'm a taxi driver, though. So I'm not going to lie. I've got a gig tonight, so I'm looking forward to that. This will be my first gig of the year. Very excited. That's for Comedy Hotspot. A guy named Jim Howarth, who runs loads of gigs. Lovely gigs. So that's, yeah, looking forward to that one. Oh, it is my mum's birthday today as well. I don't know how old she is today. So, no idea. I should go and see her, really. But I have got a gig this evening. I might give her a call. I should go and visit her, really, isn't it? I mean, instead of recording podcasts, I should be going to see her. So, the last time I spoke to you guys, I've had my PC updated since then. So, I'm hoping this sounds okay on your end. I'm still on season one. I've been doing this for, what, 4 years now? 5 years, ain't it? This podcast. Still season one. There are no seasons in mine, apart from the seasons in the year, innit? I must say, it's been a very warm winter. It doesn't feel like winter sometimes when you're out there. When people complain, oh, it's cold. This ain't cold, mate. 20 years ago, you know what cold is about. Not now. It's not like that now. Because I have nothing, absolutely nothing to talk about. My life isn't as interesting as you think, people. So let's do a Ask the UK. I love doing an Ask the UK. You got no choice, really, innit? Because you're just listening to this. I'm in the background. You're thinking about something else. That's what I do when I listen to a podcast. I do try and listen to podcasts. Sometimes your mind drifts off, doesn't it? Like right now. So... Actually, I like this question. I've read it briefly, and it's been posted by somebody named Posh Baker Lou. The, The question they've put up is, how old were you when you stopped enjoying wild nights out? How old was I? That's a good... oh my God. I think I must have hit... So I remember going out after I got married. So I was 28 when I got married. And I was still going out to a couple of clubs. I would say when I hit about 33, 34. I think that was the age I stopped going out. Because I realised everyone around me were just young kids. I felt like... When I used to go to a nightclub, right? I used to think I was in a college. Well, sometimes I'd think I'm in, like, school, would you know what I mean? Because, like, teenagers look so young. And I just felt really old. And I'm not really a clubber, to be honest. It's not my thing. I think it's because it gets noisy in a nightclub. And I like to talk to my friends. So I'm a people person, you know, and I like to talk to people. And you can't do that when you're in a nightclub where it's loud and noisy. Unless they've got, like, a quiet room and I can just chat to people then. Yeah. So I would say I was about 33. And my reason was, yeah, because I just didn't enjoy it. I used to love dancing when I was younger, but not now. I think now I just do more of a dad dancing. That's the kind of person I am. But then I used to drink then as well. So that was another reason to go out, innit? There's probably people out there right now who are over 50, still go clubbing. I'm not sure, man. Most of them go to bingo nights, I think. I've done a couple of bingo nights. They've been fun. More of an older crowd in there. I think the people you get at bingo are the less likely to go out, you know, to a nightclub. But then we have music and they love dancing, so maybe they still go. God knows. Anyway, Posh Bakerloo says... He's 34 next month, and while it takes a full 48 hours to recover after nights out, now I don't miss that, the hangovers, I still enjoy falling out of a nightclub at 4 o'clock. Admittedly, I don't do it very often, maybe one or two times a month, but I find myself looking forward to them, getting ready with the music on, pre-drinks, friends, drinks, dancing. Oh yeah, I think I went out on my 40th, so... Yeah, I went out on my 40th. I went to Prague with my cousins. And we did go to some nightclubs, actually. So, yeah. I think after 40 then. I'll be 46 next month. I'm not going to go clubbing. That's not going to happen. It's in a weekday as well, so it's absolutely pointless. But the best thing about my birthday was, when I was at school, it was during the February break that they have in the UK. So I used to have a week off during my birthday. So that was the best thing about it. Back to Posh Bakerloo. He says he's got a handful of friends who always jokingly say, became 30 years old and got into bed, if I can make them come out. It's always them who leave early. They prefer day drinking and to be in bed by 9 o'clock or just chill. They used to be a late one and blame what they call old age. I believe age is just a number, obviously. I mean, I'm 46. I still think I'm 25. I act like I'm 12 years old. But I'm also aware that I'm the only one of my friends who regularly visit the gym and eat super healthy. Binge drinking now and again is my only vice. Thoughts, how old were you, or do you still enjoy late nights? Well, I've more or less answered this question, didn't I? So, actually, I do love going to the gym. I went to the gym this morning, and I come back, and I thought, let's do a podcast, because everybody wants to hear my voice. So, yeah. Like I said, I mean, I love going to the gym now. Absolutely love it. I feel like I'm going back to how I used to be when I was... When I was 30, right, I absolutely loved it then. So, yeah, I feel like I'm going back to my youth, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I look good as well, do you know what I mean? I feel good. I know I've got arthritis, but I haven't had a gout attack, touch wood again. I haven't had a gout attack in ages, and I think that is because I've been looking after myself. I've got a bit of a podge, I know. I've always going to have that. That's the hardest thing to get rid of, isn't it? Your stomach. And a lot of people during New Year will start going to the gym and then give up. I mean, if you're one of those people, just don't give up. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, you've got to set yourself goals. And I think I'm good in that sense of setting a goal. Trying to stick to it is difficult. No matter what it is, it's always a challenge. You just got to kind of face up. Do you know what I mean? Wake up and think, no, I'm doing this, whatever it is I want to do. And make it, you know, stand by it. And that's what I did with, you know, my drinking. I had to stand by it. Eventually, you'll get used to it. And then, you know, you don't even think about it. You just do it. It becomes a natural thing. So, yeah, good luck to all of you. And if you're still over your 40s and you're going clubbing, good on you then. If that's your thing, that's your enjoyment. We all have something that we have to do. Otherwise, we'll go mental. And it, that's the thing. And as long as it's not drugs, you know, and you're not abusing your body, then it's fine. If your New Year resolution is to become a drug addict, I think you need to go and look at yourself. Or just message me and I'll try and help you. Right, I'm going to move on because I said I've got nothing to talk about. Some of you probably switched off by now. So let's do a no stupid question. You know me, I love a no stupid question. So today's no stupid question has been posted by Your Freak Storm Cloak. That is such a bizarre username. I think we need to talk about your username. What is a Your Freak? It must mean something. I mean, I'm not that educated. So some of you out there probably know what it is, or you're thinking that's just a made up word. Frick Stormcloak has asked the question, what would happen if you got drafted into the army, but you were basically useless? Oh, that could happen, isn't it? I know, is it Greece? The blokes in Greece have to join the army at a certain age. I'm sure that is true. Is it 18? When they're 18, they go to the army for 2 years or something like that. I might have made that up, but I'm sure someone told me that. You could be one of those people. If you were Greek, right, and you were absolutely useless, you're one of those people that goes out clubbing late night. You drink loads of alcohol. And you get up at like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon and then your day starts. You would be useless if you're that type of person. But then that might put you in a straight line, innit? So going back to the other question, there's the answer. If you want a resolution, join the army. Innit? That's what you could do. So, yeah, I mean, what would... What would happen if you were useless? I think there would, if you were to join the army, before I read the rest of his question, I think, because my mind is in there, you see, I reckon what they would do is, they would use you in another way. So if you were useless at running or holding a gun, you're not strong enough. Yeah, let's say that. They might put you in the kitchen, innit? It's like working for the National Health Service in the UK. That's the hospitals. Those of you who do listen abroad. I know I've got a few listeners abroad. So obviously some of you know that we get free healthcare in it. So I reckon the NHS is like an army, innit? Because the job role I do, they call us the frontline staff because we're always there with the patients. I would class a doctor as the secondary one because they only come in now and again to see the patients, right? Because they've got so many to see, which is fair enough. And they only come like once or twice a week. So we're always there. We're 24 hours. So we're frontline. And then you got your catering staff. They're the same as similar to doctors. They don't really get involved. They serve the food. They heat it up. They clean themselves up afterwards. Because when they eat, they make a mess. And then you got like your porters, you know, you got your drivers. So that's basically what they would do. I think the army would. They'd stick you somewhere. I don't know. Maybe they'll make you build the tents or the barracks or get you fueling up the tanks. You know what I mean? They'd make use of you. That's what I reckon they would do. I mean, I've done training, right? I did an army thing. I think I've told this ages ago. It was an army. I had to do this video for the radio, right? And they sent me to a place where they do training for the army. And I had to do the assault course, and I was absolutely shattered. And I tell you what, I completed it. I was absolutely fat then. I was a fatty. So I suppose if I could do it then, anyone can do it, innit? But it's whether you can do it on the battlefield mentally. Because it is a mental thing, isn't it? You know, that's why you get a lot of army people who have PTSD, post-traumatic something disorder. Is it stress? I think it's stress. Yeah, so I suppose they'll make use of you. That would be my answer, if you were useless. I think I would be useless. I would just make everyone laugh. I would make the enemies laugh. That was what I would do. That's what we should do. Like, you know, like I said before, when I went to Paris and they got that, they have the light show and the fireworks show on the castle. That's what they need to do during wars, is put that Disney castle in the middle of, on the borderline, right? On the border between the two countries. Play the show, which runs for like half an hour. Both sides would be in tears, I'm telling you. If both sides saw Mickey Mouse and all that, they'd be hugging each other. That's my solution to the war. You stick Disney in the middle. Or something very similar. We won't have any wars then. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, there's too much of that going on. So I want to read what he says. I've probably answered what he says. So Ufric Stormcloak says, let's say you get drafted, but you generally can't handle any of the pressure. And the moment the drill sergeant scolds you or something, you break into the ugliest crying and started having a panic attack. Oh, he means in that sense. You can't really train that, right? That's worse than just not being there. What would happen? So if you failed in front of the sergeant and you started having a panic, he means in that sense. I don't know, man. What do they do? They probably beat you, innit? Beat you, make you do exercise. That's what I reckon they would make you do. I think that's my answer to the question. Yeah, I think they'll just make use of you, mate. Basically, they'll make you do something. If you're really, really bad, like you're the worst soldier they've ever had in their life, I don't know, man. I don't know what they'd do. They'd probably stick you on the front line, innit? You'd just be like a shield for the army. So the other day, right, Sheila started laughing at me, right, because she said, you know, like, I'm really into bizarre stuff, yeah? Not in that way, what you're thinking. Like, weird stuff. I love watching weird programs, isn't it? There's one on, I don't know what channel it's on, but I got it on me dodgy stick. It's Dan Aykroyd. It's called Unbelievable. I don't know. I don't think it's on Netflix. I have no idea what it's on. Yeah. But it's on my dodgy stick. And it talks about, like, mad stuff, innit? Like, the first person who thought he could fly. I can't remember the geezer's name. He was in France, yeah? And he wanted to be the first person to fly. And he made these outfits and used to stick them on the dummies and used to throw them out of the window. Yeah? And I think one of them kind of flew. I can't remember. What he said was, he said he really believed in his inventions. They were basically like cloths. Yeah. Like a massive cult. And he thought because they're not flying, it's because of the height. So he said what he's going to do, he's going to test out a dummy on the Eiffel Tower, top of the Eiffel Tower. And it got approved, right? And this geezer thought, yeah, I'm gonna throw my dummy off from the Eiffel Tower. And everyone was like, fair enough. And that's what he told the police or whoever it is. I don't know. The French government, they approved it. Loads of people went there to watch this. And guess what? He jumped off himself. Madman. They didn't even stop him. That was the worst thing. They were like, all right, mate, if you think you're really good at your flying adventure, all right, you do it then. No, well, basically, do it. So he jumped off. And obviously, it didn't work. He died flat-faced on the ground. And that's like what the program's about. So it's bizarre stuff. And I love listening to stories like that. They really fascinate me. But lately, I've been watching the Bigfoot Expedition. On the dodgy stick. And my missus, she can't stop laughing. She goes, you're mad you are. She goes, you keep watching this same program. They do the same thing and they don't find anything. And I'm like, the real, man, the real? She goes, what do you mean, the real? What do they look like? I said, they're bigger than me. They're about 8 foot. They're twice the size of me. They're hairy. I said, they're all over the world. They believe that they're there in Nepal, in the Himalayas, in other parts of the world. They got different names. I said, how do you know? I said, we don't know everything. She thinks that's hilarious. So, yeah, I don't know why I mentioned that, but I thought it was something funny. So going on to that, bizarre, let's finish off the podcast with a weird news story. My favourite. This is my favourite bit. I just want to do a podcast with loads of weird news stories. Okay, let's see what we got. So today's weird news story. I saw this ages ago on my phone and I thought, this is funny, man. This is the title of the story. It's hilarious. It is taking place in the United States of America. I think it's Florida. I'm not too sure. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, from the title. Today's weird news story is Florida mom baffled by a bizarre theft. I come home and my driveway is gone. Imagine that. You get home and your driveway is gone. That's hilarious. Okay, let's see what happened. I'm really intrigued. So a single mom who was trying to sell her Florida home is scratching her head over a bizarre theft after someone stole her concrete driveway right out of the ground. Concrete as well, you know, weren't even bricks. I come home and my driveway is gone, says Amanda Brochu. Shout out to Amanda Brochu, who told WFTV of the moment she realised someone had ripped up the concrete driveway of her Orange County home last month, leaving a patch of muddy dirt in its place. Who would take a driveway anyway, like concrete? Like, if it was steel, yeah, or made out of gold, then I can understand. But why would someone, unless it was a prank, I don't know. Anyway, the mystery started soon after she listed the home for sale, the baffled mom said. Soon, strange contractors started showing up to measure the driveway. They're already getting prepared for it. Brochu told the outlet, with her son counting 5 such workers in total. When she asked the crew what they were up to, they told her a Tampa area man identified only as Andre hired them to price a replacement. Or maybe it's a mistake. Okay, that makes more sense, doesn't it? The team even provided her text messages purportedly showing Andre asking for the estimate and providing them with Brochu's address. The suspicious client, however, was out of town when the contractor requested an in-person meeting and cut off communication when asked for proof of ownership. One week later, Brochu's doorbell camera captured a bulldozer ripping up the concrete driveway and hauling it away. That's hilarious. So there's a picture of a mobile phone, right, with text messages, vice versa. And it starts with, I want a new concrete driveway at my house in Apopka, Florida. Can you stop by today or tomorrow for an estimate. Let me know. Yeah. And then it replies back, sure, how about half 11 today? And then he gives the full address, yeah, with the number. Half 11 works. What's your name? So this company's gave their name, right? And they're going to go down. So Brochu told she was not at all prepared for the bizarre theft. Her real estate agent, Rocky Sanchez, recalled the utter shock of learning what happened. I've never seen this before. I've never had this happen to myself or anyone in our office. Sanchez said. Sanchez posted about the missing driveway in a Facebook group for realtors and believes Brochu is the victim of a strange scam. Okay. How is that a scam? Because do you think the company was like pretending that she wanted it done and then they're going to rip it out? And then they're going to make her pay for it. Strange, isn't it? This is more weird than the Bigfoot. I had multiple people come forward saying that they've seen things like this happen. Whether it would be a driveway, a roof, a painting, even outside exterior. So it happens more often than we actually see it. Now, Brochu is under pressure to replace the driveway in order to sell her home within 2 weeks. Or she will lose the property as she is under contract to buy nearby. She replaced the roof and made another investment, leaving her worried about getting the $10,000 project. Now, that's unfair, isn't it? Imagine you're trying to sell your house, right, and someone takes your driveway. I'd be fuming, mate. I would be absolutely mad. No one's going to buy this. This brings down the property now, and that just messes it up for me and my family. Of course, I feel sorry for her. The Orange County Sheriff, which is investigating the driveway theft, did not immediately return. So it's still under investigation. That is absolute madness. Imagine getting home and your driveway is gone. Oh, dear. I love this. This is why I love this podcast. Right, that is today's podcast. This is this New Year's podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, share, like, tell your friends, blah, blah, blah. If there's anything you didn't like, do let me know. And I will happily change it or add bits. God knows what. I don't know. Anyway, take care. I'll see you soon.